Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today on Tuesday Tales, Dungeon Wars and Underground Fireballs. So back in the day, I mentioned on a previous episode that Griswold detected evil behind a door going down into the dungeons. They bricked it up. Well, then a scullery maid went missing. Griswold was sent to investigate. It ended up that there was all kinds of nasties down there. We could never seem to gain headway, so Griswold would get control of a certain passage and build a reinforced door with an opening in it so they could peek through to see what was on the other side that they could bar and make it easier to hold the ground they'd gained. Every time we'd come to another hallway, it seemed like there'd be some other line of nasties down there. And so, using the formula for the volume of a sphere, 20 feet in diameter, as it tells us in the first edition Player's Handbook, that's 33,000 cubic feet. 1,000 cubic feet would be a 10-foot square of dungeon, 10 feet high. That cube is 1,000 cubic feet. And so you need 33 of those to hold the volume of a sphere, 20 feet in radius. That's a lot. Griswold would count how many squares he had and toss a fireball down through the little opening in the door and close it before it came through. And he got pretty good at just eyeballing it. Well, one time it didn't go so well, and something interrupted it early, and it damaged Griswold, and he had a 6th-level fighter hireling, a captain, who he failed his save, and his helmet failed its save, so he ended up having this scar where the molten steel of his helmet had scarred his face. He got healed up and lived, and he stayed loyal. Griswold would go fight the monsters, get beat up, rest, pray for spells, heal up, and go do it again. And it just never ended. It was a war of attrition, because what he had down there was just powerful enough that Griswold and a bunch of zero-level guys were not enough to deal with it. One thing that was down there, I didn't know what it was, and the way he described it, it was not anywhere near like what the thing actually was. Ended up, it was an anus, which is like the night hags, and I believe that's from the second the Monster Manual 2. And some guy, one of the hirelings of the mercenaries Griswold had, there was a line of these fighting this thing because it had gotten past the line or whatever, and Griswold wasn't right up front because he was occupied with something else. And this thing picked up a guy and bit him in half and then swallowed him. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, when I read the description of an anus, that did not match up with the way it was described, because they're 8 feet tall. They're not big enough. They're not all mouth. The way it was described, it was able to eat a man whole, and I'm like, that kind of freaked me out, and I'm like, oh, I can't take something that tough that can just swallow a guy whole. It was just a back-and-forth war of attrition. Well, finally, we ended the stalemate when Griswold got some help from my youngest brother's character, Algernon Whiteoak, the Elven High Priest I mentioned in a recent episode. I think it was Margus Greystone, the dwarf. Seems like, oh yes, it would be James Forrester, the wizard, who's now an archmage. That last level is because of an Ioun stone. And the stalemate had gotten so bad and irritated my brother Robert, the dungeon master, so bad that he put a limit on heal spells and how many you could do in a 24-hour period. He even revised the power of the magical holy symbols that he allowed clerics to make so that they didn't have as many spells in them, because it just, in his eyes, I guess, was contributing to the stalemate. I guess we relied too much on that rather than other things. So anyway, we now have a much stronger force with more powerful guys, more guys, a lot more magic, a lot more spells, and we managed to end the stalemate, and we got down past the constructed dungeons, and of course, what is down there but a cavern? And it's a series of huge cavernous rooms. Turns out there's actually a shrine down there to, of all things, Orcus. So we blow our way through the minions and take out whatever the big bad lieutenant type guys were, and Griswold personally defiled the altar of the temple of Orcus, and now I guess Orcus has enmity for Griswold. That hasn't played itself out in any other way yet, but that's quite the thing. Turns out there was, of course, a back way through the caverns to get in there. And I mentioned the huge earthquakes at some point. Well, since the castle fell in, it fell in and caved in the cavern, so there's no need to go sneaking around because the humans are greatly weakened after the earthquake. Fortunately, it did enough damage, as I mentioned, to the orcs that Griswold was able to go retrieve his ancestral lands. So that was Dungeon Wars. Yes, Griswold had Lightning Bolt, and he used that, but sometimes you ran out of Lightning Bolt and had to use his Fireball. I got really good at figuring out how much area Fireball covers, and it amazes people just how much area it covers when you're in an enclosed space. Now outside, no big deal. 20-foot radius is not as impressive because it's got room it can go up. But if it doesn't have room to go up, it's got to go sideways. When it goes sideways, it's literally going sideways, and your plan goes sideways, and you can end up zapping the party. Have you experience with regular use of Fireball underground? I'd be curious to hear about those stories. Those can be quite fun. I know at Gamehold Con a couple years ago, I was in an AD&D game run by Luke Gygax, and some guy who didn't have any experience with running a magic user threw a Fireball underground, less than 20 feet from the party. The magic user killed himself, a couple of others, so those of us that lived were hurt really bad, and it was not even the end of the adventure, so they ended up rolling up new characters for those two players. It was something else. Usually, we're not killing each other quite so stupidly in convention games, but it's possible. Anyway, those are my stories with Fireball underground and not throwing it far enough away from the rest of the party. Please call in with your stories. And as I mentioned, this week, tomorrow, I'll be leaving for GaryCon 11. I'm meeting my ride, and we're going to hopefully try to beat some lake effect snow that's supposed to be really bad, so we're going a little bit of a detour from what we normally would. I'm just looking forward to not having to drive the 4.5 hours or whatever. Well, I'm just looking forward to not having to drive. And then we'll get there, and I guess I didn't realize my first game is Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Thought it was 9 a.m. till I got to looking at the schedule last night, and it's like 8 a.m. So I'll be up bright and early Thursday. So if you're a bright and early riser and you're going to be at GaryCon, you'll see me stumbling around till I get woke up. I'm more of a night owl than a morning person. And I've got stuff to run, lots of pickup games in addition to the games I'm running. I can also run a pickup game of the scenarios I'll be running at the table if you're not playing one of those. Thank you all very much for listening. If you can't make it to GaryCon, they have some sort of online virtual GaryCon going on. I don't know a lot about that. I happened to notice that when I was looking over the PDF of the event catalog. If you're interested in checking out some of the things at GaryCon, look into that. I don't know anything about it other than it'll be online. You'll be able to watch some events online, evidently. And I'd like to hear people's opinion for that are able to watch that from home, what that's like. I'm looking forward to meeting lots of people. There's several podcasters from the Anchor group here that will be there. Ray Otis and Cody, and seems like there's somebody else. Oh yeah, that Hobbs fella. But I'm used to seeing him at cons. Seems like a lot of the cons I go to, he goes to, so anyway, I'll be seeing Hobbs, and hope you all have a safe travel that are traveling. I look forward to meeting you. Look forward to hopefully get a chance to game, or at least to talk. So thank you all very much for your time. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, And you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to multiverse.world by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!